Minister Gallagher, I declare the meeting open. Welcome everyone to today's council meeting. I'll start with a declaration of opening. The Shire Ginger would like to acknowledge the Yuwit people who are traditional custodians of this land. The Shire would like to pay respect to elders past, present and emerging of the Yuwit nation and extend this respect to all Aboriginal people. The Shire also recognises the living culture of the Yuwit people and a unique contribution they have made to the Gingin region. I'll just repeat what I said the last few meetings, just if I can ask all councillors to speak up nice and loud, as we've got members of the gallery, and sometimes it's a bit difficult to hear back there. So, and also if councillors are proposing to move an alternate motion or an amendment to a motion which is subsequently carried, then they must also provide a reason for the alternative or amendment for inclusion in the minutes. Alternate and amendment motion forms can be found in your desk drawer. We'll find one for you. Record of attendance, we've got a full house today, so thank you all for attending up. Disclosure of interest, I remind anyone intending to disclose of interest during the meeting to complete a disclosure of interest form that can be found in your desk drawer. If your interest is in impartiality, interest in a statement of impartiality can be found either in your desk drawer or on your desk. The statement should be read out loud when the meeting reaches the relevant item. Public question time. A period of 15 minutes is allotted for public question time in accordance with the Shire's meeting procedures and local law. At the end of the allotted time, council may resolve to extend public question time if it so desires. Precedence will be given to questions received in writing prior to the meeting. Each person will be allowed a maximum of three questions before other members of the public are invited to ask questions. If there is sufficient time remaining, once all members of the public have had an opportunity to ask questions and any further questions received in writing have been dealt with, then those with further questions may be invited to speak again. Questions that cannot be addressed during the allotted time will be taken on notice only if they are submitted in writing before leaving the council chambers. Forms are available on the gallery chairs and on the table inside the council chamber door for this purpose. A written response to any questions taken on notice will be provided to the questioner, and both questions and responses will be included in the agenda and minutes of the next council, ordinary council meeting. There will be no further opportunity for members of the public to speak during the meeting once question time is finished. Item 4.1 is response to public questions previously taken on notice, and there's responses provided in the agenda to Mr. Ed Hartman as per the details in the agenda. Item 4.2 is public questions. We have not got any in writing, so I'll ask any members of the gallery if you've got any questions you'd like to ask.
I'm Kate Lane, near Gabby. I've got a few more following on from the last questions I've asked. At September's meeting, I asked why the items listed in the invoices supplied by Balgrania Leisure, this is to do with the shop and cafe in Gilderton. I asked why the items listed in the invoices supplied by Balgrania Leisure had been purchased by the Shire at all. I was informed by CEO Owen Cook that, and I quote, "If that equipment was removed, then all the infrastructure behind that had to be replaced. The price would be a lot more than what we've seen. Can Council tell me what infrastructure would need to be replaced by the removal of plates, souffle dishes, thermometers, teapots, jugs, baskets, petting boards, tongs, disposable knives, fry pans, saucepans, sauce bottles, chef's knives, and those items that are merely plugged into power sockets, casserole cookers, blender, rice cooker, toaster, mixer, chiller, fridges, freezer, and heated display units? And what damage could be caused by disconnecting a freestanding burner unit from the gas supply and a freestanding oven and grill plate from their individual switched connections on the 50-amp power supply? I ask that the documents I referenced at the last meeting be included in the September minutes. This was refused. Have all the councillors now been sent copies of them so that they can understand why the questions are being asked?"
No, councillors haven't been sent a copy. I guess you're 100% correct. I mean, most of those things you mentioned certainly don't require any additional work. the things I think the CEO is referring to, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, were probably things like the big rain shoot that gets obviously bolted and screwed to the wall and put through the ceiling.
That wasn't actually listed in the invoices.
I think it was all part of the oven setup. I know I'll get the CEO to respond, and also things like the cool room and the fridges. Some of the fridges actually pumped in, from my understanding, and air conditioners as well. But can you?
You're absolutely right, Chair President. There's not much more to explain to that other than exactly what you mean. So I certainly wasn't indicating in any way, shape, or form the plates and everything else that Slane has actually referred to. But at the end of the day, I know that there was a lot of infrastructure upgrade that needed to be required to install the hardware and infrastructure that needed to go in there. And to remove all that, there would be implications with new equipment being purchased and whether the connections and etc. would need to be relocated, etc. So there would be increased cost.
In the meeting held on the 20th of June, I asked, under the terms of the lease, is the tenant or the shire responsible for maintaining and replacing of the equipment and building repairs? The response by the shire president was, yes, under the general terms of a commercial lease, they have to maintain it. As this is the case, why was any money paid to Belgravia at all, as any damage to any infrastructure was their responsibility to mitigate?
Well, council deemed at the time that it was a reasonable arrangement to be made for us to purchase the equipment in situ. I'm not sure that.
Well, the list of equipment that I was sent, and I was told that was everything that was listed. Actually, was the list of things that I have read out. The only thing I didn't mention was the solar system. So if there were other things, why were they not on the list? I don't understand it, doesn't it? It seems like, you know, the two things don't correlate. I'm being told one thing, but given documentary.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the things you're referring to. The solar.
Yeah.
The solar equipment was subsequently purchased by the new lessee of the shop off Belgrade. So Belgrade had purchased the solar equipment off the previous tenant.
I can't understand why the shire bought all that equipment. Because unless you're actually going to put a manager in to run the cafe, you're the landlord, not the tenant.
I understand that, but we also increased the rent to cater for the repayment over a period of about 5 years, 6 years, to pay off the extra that we paid for the equipment. So we had to get it back in 5 or 6 years' time. So I think it's a 10
Not 15. With any interest, though, and having spent the money now on things that aren't really landlord's business.
No, it might not be, but I guess from council's point of view, and I'm not speaking on behalf of council, but I guess I can summarise that council has had quite a bit of community pressure to try and get the cafe up and running. So we did what we could, and we might have paid a little bit more than what we probably should have done, but the intent was to get the cafe up and running because that's what the community wanted. Now, you can argue that's right or wrong, but it was a council resolution, the council agreed to it.
Well, I might have done, but, you know, any complaint should have been directed to Belgravia Leisure and not taken on board by the Shire as the landlord. I can't understand this at all, actually.
Well, I'll take that as a comment, because it's a council resolution.
Just through the chair quickly, that rent will stay in place for the remainder of the
lease. That's right, it doesn't finish.
So it's not just for a period of 5 years to repay the cost. That rent increase remains in place.
So it's an extra $15,000 a year from memory?
Yep.
Over the entire length of the lease, not just as CEO's point of view.
Yeah.
So it will pay off the equipment and a lot more than just interest.
If it's an affordable, sustainable rent, that's another question. Also at the June meeting, I asked, has each item, including the serial number and manufacturing date, been cross-checked with the equipment on site? Your response, Mr. President, was not as yet. Has this cross-checking now been undertaken and completed?
Through the chair, I'm not going to go out there and cross-check all the equipment and etc. on site. Have I checked that it's the items that we've purchased? Yes, it is. They have not been removed. They have not been changed over. They are the items, i.e. the model numbers and etc. that's within the items. All of the serial numbers are not in places that are easily accessible, and I don't think that is actually even really appropriate at this point in time. The actual tenant is in there operating, using the equipment. It's all set up. functional. That was the outcome the council wanted to achieve, and it was achieved.
But you don't even know what it was you bought because it wasn't itemised in any of the invoices. Sorry, but it really wasn't. There were not model numbers and there were no makes mentioned.
Well, I'll just go from my personal experience. I've also bought a couple of businesses where I certainly didn't go around. Once I'd signed the document and made the contract for sale, I certainly didn't go around and check serial numbers. And it's never that's our two businesses I've owned. So it's unusual for me that what you're saying is needed to happen, because it certainly didn't happen.
With respect, what you do with your own money and your own business is, you know, fine. But when it's public money, I think you need to be a little bit more careful with what you're doing. So there's no itemised inventory, so there was no actual checking done and there was no inventory done to show that everything was on site after the deal was done.
Well, there's a list of plant and equipment that was sold, but certainly...
Yeah, well, I've seen that. It's a little bit sketchy.
Yeah. That's your...
No, it is sketchy.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. I need to move on with questions.
I'm just surprised that none of the councillors have actually got a copy of any of this, because they would see what I was actually saying. But there you go. At the last meeting, you stated that council were comfortable with the valuation of the solar system and that we are still generating full power. Does the tenant or the Shire pay the power bills for this building?
The tenant pays all the bills.
Right. Does excess power feed back into the grid and generate income? If it does the tenant benefit from this or the Shire?
The tenant, because we've never ever owned, and still to this day have never owned, and don't currently own the solar system. The solar system was put in by the Enrights, the previous tenants. They asked council to purchase the solar system, the solar panels when their lease expired. Council said we didn't want the solar system. We asked them if they couldn't negotiate with the new lessees, they'd have to remove it. So it's a solar system that's owned by the tenants, not by council. So they get the income from
it. You didn't want to buy it from the Enrights at the end of their lease, but you have bought it from Belgravia.
It was sold, bought from Belgravia, and sold on to them and placed within the building. So yes, council now owns that infrastructure.
But you wouldn't actually buy it off the Enrights, but you've bought it from Belgravia. It seems that Belgravia seem to get an awful lot from the Shire that I can't understand why you've even gone down that path. But thank you. I don't have any further questions at this moment.
Thank you. Anyone else? Please.
Good afternoon, Lindsay Levy from Neargate. I just have a couple of questions in regard to the recent decline of food trucks servicing our community. Who is responsible for the fees and charges specifically trading in a public place?
Council.
What rationale can be provided for our, I think it's just over a grand, nearly $1,100, when neighbouring shires are substantially lower, Dandaragan being $600 and Chittering being $85?
Well, this formed part of a discussion we had at a briefing session recently. Those two certainly are a little bit less than us, but there are some that are more than us. I guess it's important to note that there wasn't an increase at all last year. They've had, a $52 increase over 2 years, which would equate to just $26 a year over the last 2 years. When you consider that to CPI, which council made the decision, and I guess it was put through the budget, under our fees and charges, as being a reasonable rate.
How can we expect to encourage itinerant traders to our shire and provide a service to our community when our fees are not competitive?
Look, that's a discussion you'd have to have with individual councillors, and councillors will form their own opinions, but I guess if you want my opinion, and the response from myself is we also take into consideration the commercial businesses that operate within the town and the commercial rates they pay. Substantially more than what an itinerant food vendor pays. Plus, they have to pay for rubbish removal, power, water rates. It's pretty complex what individual businesses have to pay, and I guess we take all that into account when we make the decision in regards to fees and charges for itinerant food vendors. It's certainly a lot less than what a commercial ratepayer pays on the commercial rates.
Also completely different.
Sorry, Miss. Also
completely different. Aren't itinerant food traders get any of those things that you just talked about?
Oh, we've got a hotel and a service station and a couple of other businesses. I think there's four businesses in town that also sell fast foods.
Yep, it's not a decision of council to...
No, they pay commercial rates, not any budget, they pay commercial rates, that's, from my point of view, that's...
But my point was that a commercial building is completely different, and what the Shire provides for them is completely different to what a, I don't know, food trader receives in terms of grocery, one of those things, just listed. So they're not really comparable, are they?
Is it, well, I think they are, but it's a question, I think they are comparable. In fact, I think the alternative food building is very likely. But that's my opinion, I think it's obviously council of that view when they set the fees and charges at the budget time. Any other questions?
Edward Hartman from the Gabby. Only one question. My question is in reference to the Shire Satisfaction Survey conducted some past 3 months. One, can the President or the Shire indicate as to when will the Shire be able to release results to the public of the survey? As 3 months seems to be an unusually long period for collating information with such a limited amount. That's the question. Have we got the results? When are we likely to see them?
My understanding is it's ready to be released, and I think it was going to be discussed at the next briefing session when the new council is in place.
You are correct, the Shire President. It's been delayed to enable the new council to consider the results.
So it'll be something the new council will deal with.
And my closing note is to the four sitting councillors that are running for re-election. I'm not putting a jinx on it, but if any of them are unsuccessful in being re-elected, may I take this opportunity to thank them for their service to the public.
Thank you.
Any other questions? No, we'll move on. Petitions. I have none. There's one petition we're addressing within the council agenda. Application for leave of absence. We've got none. Confirmation of minutes is a recommendation. Move to Councillor on page 6, then Councillor Johnson, second Councillor Biz. Anyone opposed? And that's carried. Announcement by the presiding member. I haven't got a couple. Once the first one is a deputation, obviously. Do we want to say that in the room prior to the commencement of the meeting, a deputation was received. And the topic was in relation to item 13.5, the application for the development approval for proposed additions to existing dwelling and outbuildings on lot 268 4 Burnett Road, Yildon. And the speaker was Drew Hewitt, Andrew Hewitt. And the only other couple of announcements, I would just like to acknowledge the letters that we've sent out from council to the following. And the letters of congratulations, one is to the Gingin District CRC, for their staying in place project, which came out of the aged care working group, aged care and retired living, I think it's called, is it?
It's
got a long line. Yeah, Councillor Bell chairs that. But so the CRC are now pretty much become service providers for people staying in place and being cared for in their own homes. We hope that grows and becomes a very profitable and worthwhile project. Letter of congratulations went out to Mrs. Mary Day, who received the Medal of Order of Australia in the General Division at OAM for a commitment to community service, in particular St John's Ambulance and Perth Polo Cross Club. That was, I think that was in the West Australian as well. She received that from the Governor. Letter of congratulations went out to Mrs. Margaret Dobra on turning 100 years young, only 2 or 3 weeks ago. Very sprightly lady, Margaret, and I know the family celebrated her birthday in style. And also one went out to, congratulations went out to the Nirgabi Community Association, to the Nirgabi Fireworks. I was actually away, I didn't get there, but apparently it was probably one of the biggest events they've had out there. It's a great night from all reports, so we sent them a letter of congratulations as well. And the only other announcements, I'd just like to acknowledge Councillor Rule, this is his last meeting, he's definitely, he hasn't been nominated. Just on behalf of Council, I'd just like to thank Councillor Rule for his services. He has been on on leave for a little bit, but he's come back today for his last meeting. Thanks, Ken, for your contribution. You will be missed. I can also wish the four other councillors who are, three others and myself as well, but the other three other councillors who are standing, and also all the candidates in the election, wish them all the best in Saturday's election, council election, and look forward to seeing the results. And also, just finally, like we did mention in the briefing session, but I'd just like, I think it's probably easy to put in a minute, just acknowledge the staff's contribution to the last week or so, contribution they made towards assisting with traffic accidents, a couple of nasty ones, in particular one on the Brand Highway at the corner out here, and also one to south, or two to south of town as well. They weren't fatalities, but they certainly assisted with traffic management, and just on behalf of council, we get acknowledged. I'm sure Vanessa will thank them very much for their services. We appreciate it in trying conditions. So we move on. Item 9, unresolved business from previous meetings. There are none. Questions by members of which due notice has been given. There are none. We move into reports. I think Councillor Viz wanted to move a motion that we bring item 13.5 forward, is that right?
Yes, if we could move the motion for the people that have come and done their deputation.
Yeah. So we're going to Councillor Viz move it, Councillor Balcombe second, and we move item 13.5 so we can deal with that so that the speakers that came and talked to the deputation can leave. If they wish to, they're quite welcome to hang around if they like, but we'll get their outcome done if we can. So the recommendation, if we go to item 13.5, councillors, and the recommendation's on page 154 to 155. Before the deputation, we've got a move and second. Move Councillor Johnson, second Councillor Kestrel. No questions? Anyone opposed? And that's carried. Okay, we'll move back to the agenda in its correct order now. Item 11 is the reports from the Office of the CEO. 11.1 is the amendment of delegation, Prosecuting Officers, Bushfires Act, and the recommendations on page 9, just to tidy up. Move Councillor Viz, second Councillor Johnson. Anyone opposed? Anyone out? Then it's carried. Item 11.2, a petition of electors in the establishment, which relates to predominantly establishment of the tourism committee, but it did, it's been unusual because not normal petitions don't normally deal with four or five items, this one did. So there was an alternate recommendation that went out. An email went out, did you all get that?
Yeah.
With a dot point four, so. Yeah, that came about. When I was reading it over the weekend, I read it again yesterday. There was one issue that wasn't being dealt with within the petition. I thought we probably should deal with it. So that was why dot point four was put in. I think the staff their time into getting that put in. So dot point four, for those in the gallery weren't aware, there was an additional clause, dot point four, that was put into the recommendation on page 18. Move Councillor Johnson, second Councillor Kestrel. Anyone opposed? That's carried. We're moving to Corporate Community Services, item 12, 12.1, the proposed resumption of land, portion of Lot 7, Ivalo Road, Ambrera. This has been a long process, been in place for a long time, this, and it's always been come to council a few times, I think, but really good to put a bit, I think. Recommendations on page 21. Okay. Yeah. Move Councillor Rule. Second Councillor Balcombe. Anyone opposed?
just a comment or a clarification question, Mr. President. Obviously, the length and breadth of this particular subject has been going for a while. Can I just be reminded about why, what's the sticking point? I suppose from that, I support the motion, but I just want some background of the length and breadth of this ongoing issue.
Well, I think the history is going back many, many years ago. Council believed the road was, the road reserve was where the road was. Unfortunately, when they made the road, they cut the corner through the landowner's property, and it sat there for many years. The landowners, I think, probably just woken up or just realised it's going to cost a lot of money to shift the road. I think this is probably a cheaper outcome than actually shifting the roads.
So,
I
think so. Questions? Can you, if it's that many years ago, can you not claim it by adverse possession?
Why would you want to?
I don't know. Well, instant voters might be able to respond. I'm not sure public identities can. I think private identities can, identities can, but I'm not sure public can.
May I, as a licensed surveyor, Ron Braxton, inform you that the fence line is not particularly on boundary, then the courts will not accept adverse possession. Is a fence line precisely on that boundary?
There is a fence line here.
Yeah, but isn't on boundary.
No, it's not. No.
Won't be accepted.
That's what I was just adding as a comment. Council can resume the land without paying for it if it so resolved. The recommendation is, I guess, in the spirit of the request and dealing with it.
Yes, Mr. President, I'm happy with the recommendation as it is. We've been down this path many years ago of trying to resume land for a roadway, and I refer to accessway down Leonard Brook Roadway. And I certainly would not be putting up my hand for this council to even contemplate taking any land off any person without compensation. And looking at the map, I can't imagine that it's going to cost us all that much money. And at this stage, we're just agreeing to progress it and get the valuation on it and see what it's worth.
It's 0.2 of it, yeah. Item 12.2, list of paid accounts for September 2023, recommendations on page 26.
Yeah.
Councillor Johnson. Second. Councillor Sorensen.
Questions? It's just more a comment than a question, and I do believe that where we can shop local, especially for some of the items, it would be good if we could sort of attempt to do that. I don't want to go into any specifics, but there's a few items in there where we probably could have attempted to get them locally. That's all, just as a comment.
Anyone else?
We
have a policy. Yeah. Okay, the recommendations moved by Councillor Johnson, second by Councillor Sorensen. Anyone opposed? Yes. Carried. Item 12.3 is the monthly financial report for the period ending 30th September. The recommendations on page 31, and the report is behind that. The mover, by Councillor Viz.
Yeah.
Senior Councillor Johnson. Any questions before I put them? Is anyone opposed? That's carried as well. We move into reports from Regional Development Services. Item 13, 13.1 is a subdivision referral for lot 9500 Turin Road, Gingenup, in Country Heights Estate. Recommendation. is on page 57.
Yep.
Councillor Johnson, move Councillor Johnson. Councillor Sorensen.
Sorry, Mr. President, yes, I don't know whether it can be modified without a formal amendment if necessary, but I was going to suggest some reference to the date in that box of recommendation where it says, second line, indigenous support is subject to all earlier conditions being imposed on a subdivision renewal. I was going to suggest put a date in terms of earlier conditions. We don't know how long ago with the earlier conditions is put. A date of this, so that we've got some semblance of what's the reference of the two, as far as the final adoption of that.
I'll get James this one. I think it relates to the deed, doesn't it? Which has already probably got dates on it. Is it?
Yeah, through the chair. The approval was issued on I think it's oh, sorry, 1st of June 28, and you could reference that. Otherwise, just bear with me, I'm just finding this under the approval of the appendancy. I'm going to reference the.
Any other?
As a student, I'd just be happy with that.
Well, I'll get changed, I'll get there. Please, comments first on that one before we. Oh, 2015, is that what you're looking at?
No, no, just yeah, so if we reference WAPC number 153068, that will refer through the document with all the conditions on.
So as per WAPC?
Council advised the West Australian Planning Commission proposed 274 lot subdivision of lot 9500 Cherry Ridge Engineer, supported subject to all earlier conditions on the like brackets. WAPC reference number 153068.
153068.
Go to 7.6 on the agenda, that's the WAPC's conditions.
So I guess Mrs. Burke's going to find out if that's going to be an amendment or whether Councillor Johnson and Councillor Sorensen are happy to have that as part of the recommendation.
Well, I'm happy to have it in the
We can put a note in, Mr. President, to say that the.
Would you rather deal with it by amendment? I'm happy to go ahead.
I have no preference. Okay. If the mover and seconder are happy to include that.
Put a note in the minutes.
We'll put a note in the minutes. We just need to know exactly where it needs to be included in the motion.
Mark suggested that in the wording, Mr. President.
So, what the plan, can you say, so it's in brackets after renewal, after the word renewal?
Okay, so after time within brackets. Oh, after conditions,
brackets, being those. Yeah.
Brackets. Refer WAPC number 153068.
Correct.
Is that adequate?
Okay.
Yes, so that's now been up the menu in the screen.
I think it's 6-8.
5-0-0-6-8. Okay, that's one question dealt with. Now, Councillor Tolkien.
I think it answers my question in there, actually. It was just about that now, which we had talked about, that now we're going back to the 274. All the conditions we put on the 313 things is not going to happen, but if they come back to us again to change that, we can look at putting those conditions back on about footpaths and things like that.
Correct.
Yes?
Yeah. Yeah, through the chair, this is a replica of the earlier approval. Yeah. If and when they ever decide to
change,
reconfigure or change something, and be an opportunity to look at those sort of things.
Perfect.
Any other questions? Okay, so the amended recommendation has been moved by Councillor Johnson, seconded by Councillor Sullivan. Is anyone opposed? And that's carried. So item 13.2, withdraw the caveat on lot 9500, sorry, Curran Road, Indian Hunt, relates to the same item. Move Councillor Belton. And this. Anyone opposed? That's very.
He's gone back on again, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Item 13.3 is the application for amended development approval for proposed use not listed container deposit recycling point at lot 301 King Drive, Woodridge. Obviously, the approval has lapsed and this is a renewal, so the recommendation is on page 115, 116, 117. You have Councillor Kestrel, you have Councillor Sorensen. Anyone opposed? Discussion, but that one's carried. Item 13.4, application for development approval for an entry statement wall and signage at lot 11. 25 Old Millennium Road in Ginger. Recommendation on page 136.
Yes.
Move Councillor Biz. Second, Councillor Esbjerg. Anyone opposed? That's carried. Item 13.5 has been dealt with. So we want to reports for operations and assets. There are none. Motion for which previous notice has been given. There are none. And council official reports. And there's the one there from Councillor Sorensen. Thank you, Councillor Sorensen, for that. And obviously you enjoyed London government weather.
Yes, it was quite a surprise to me. I think all councillors read it, so I probably won't write a print through it now for you. But two main things stood out was actually the size of the locker and the capacity there's movers and shakers within the governments of West Australia. And just how much we actually mean into the overall scheme of things, that surprised me a bit. The numbers of people, I attended an awful lot of conventions of engineers and surveyors, I've never convinced of 600 plus. That's a surprise me. A few other facets there that I've noted that you've probably read. Read an awful lot of knowledge from this little convention. I'd like to thank those who recommend me on the road journey.
No worries, thank you for representing council and council is and the CEO has been down. Any other reports, Councillor?
No reports, I was just going to ask Councillor Sorensen. There was two things, regional housing and active mobility. I assume that's going to go into rural areas or as against regional communities.
Yeah, it's nice.
And it's probably limited funds and a limited project and probably get no real benefit to places like the towns within the Shire region.
That's where the problem comes really into its own right. You can really advocate to push these, not push it, but advocate for these sort of facilities to supply the likes of Gingin. And I was quite impressed with the dedication of the people who are advocating it to get these sort of facets through. But we in ourselves have to be more of the concern with the likes of access for wheelchairs and the other matters of that nature. And in any construction you're going to have shire responsibility for, we've got to ensure that we have got facilities for the disabled there.
About inclusivity.
Yeah.
Looking at inclusivity everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Can I just, it's a great event to go to, I mean, I will make the point that we moved, I think we had three motions, two motions I moved last year's AGM related to rating formulas, the way rates are done, and a couple of other issues. I think one of the other ones related to CALM, Department of BDCA, land that they're taking off us.
Yeah.
Since we moved those recommendations, those motions of last year's conference, I've moved one thing from my. It is disappointing.
Yeah.
Not one thing.
It's frustrating.
Maybe that's we need to take it up. We'll since that seat next year, we need to take it up as well.
Yeah.
Push that a little bit more. They need to respond.
Because it's definitely in that list, but yeah, there's no comment on that.
Any other reports? Okay, new visitor to nature, there is none, and that is this meeting may be closed to public. There is none, declare the meeting closed at 3:45. Thank you very much for your attendance, and we have a